Welcome, everyone. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And we are very glad to be with you again this week, as always, live on Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m. Eastern in our Tampa Bay radio network area. And so here we are, and we're excited. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. Along with me is Nan here in the studio through the glass. I can see her.
I can see you.
All right, there you go. And Megan will be joining us shortly from Indiana. And it's just a joy to be able to share the Word of God today, Nan, as always. What fun. I mean, it can't get much better than to do a show like this where we can talk openly and freely about Jesus, about God, about what he does in our lives, about the Word of God and how valuable the Word is to us, and how our lives can be changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we have that freedom on the air, and we have been having that for some 440 shows. And I don't even know which number this is now, but we're in our ninth year, and what a joy to be able to do this week after week after week. I am excited every week to be able to get in here into the control room, run everything. I love that, but especially just be able to teach the Word of God and in just in a powerful way.
It is really exciting to be able to come together and to the principles that the Lord speaks through you, through us, through the discussion is so life changing.
It is, and
we have people who contact you during the show. People contact you after the show.
Right.
People contact you when they've heard it on the other ways that they can hear it, not just live. And we get that feedback that says it's really it really helped me. It was really a good thing.
And we encourage our listeners to do that very thing too. Call in, not actually live during the show. We don't do that, but we do allow you to Google text, and that would be fine anytime during the show or anytime later when you listen to it, because the Google text comes straight to my phone, so it's 24/7, 365 availability. And that number is, if you want to write it down, if you want to comment or get involved in this discussion today, 727-888-4171. I'll give it to you one more time. You can use that anytime, 24/7, 365, if you want to communicate with the ministry. That is our new phone number. And it is 727-888-4171. 727-888-4171. And we encourage you to comment or ask questions during the show. We like that, don't we, Nan? It's nice to have some feedback.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, or during the week. And it's always a joy to hear from our listeners. And Nan, you're right. We are getting more and more listeners. We are also syndicated through Starcom Media Network, and that's in several cities across the United States and in different countries. So wherever you are listening to this show live, or maybe you are two or three weeks down the road, you're finding the show and listening to it, welcome on board to Beacon of Hope's Living the Good Life. And we're excited to bring the Word of God today in a platform and in a way that is interesting. It's fun. It's dialogue. It's a little bit of teaching. We're in the book of Ruth, and it's been an exciting adventure in the book of Ruth. And we've got this show. We've got a couple more shows on the book of Ruth, but we're really kind of getting down to the last chapter here in Ruth, which is only four chapters. So we've been on this little journey. The title of the series is Finding Favor Forever. And that applies to every single one of us, not just Ruth. So we're going to see how this all applies to our lives today. Nan, what a joy to know that God really does give us favor, that we can walk in His grace, and that we don't have to walk around worried about, God punishing us or doing some awful thing to us. It's not like that.
No, and some people, that's how they live.
That's
the type of teaching that they're accustomed to.
Right.
So they've bought into this is the way it's supposed to be, and that's not the way it's supposed to be.
Right.
We can walk with favor for God. We have God's grace in our lives. You know, He's not just with a hammer wanting to pound us on the head all the time, which is what some people are accustomed to hearing.
That's right. And, you know, it's exciting to know how much God really loves us and how much we are in His good graces, so to speak, that His love for us cuts across anything we've ever said or done that was not pleasing to Him, or any issues that we have ongoing. God loves us so very much, doesn't He?
Woo. Yes, it's such unconditional love.
It is.
I'm going to say something here, and I don't want anyone to take this wrong, and I would not by no means, but my dog, he loves me unconditionally.
Yes.
I love my Jackson. If anyone is hearing, sees me on Facebook, I post about him a lot.
Basset Hound.
My Basset Hound, my baby. And, you know, I can walk out the door and walk back in. He's like, he hasn't seen me in a year.
Right.
You know, he jumps and he wants to talk, and he talks to me, you know, barks at me.
That's true.
He's excited to see me.
Right.
And I go back out and I come back in. He'll do the same thing all over again. His love is unconditional for
right.
me.
Right. Yes.
And he just loves it. In most cases, most dogs' love is just unconditional for their owner. They just love them. But, you know, God's love is so much greater than
Ooh.
That. And He just loves us.
He just loves
he
us.
He just loves us so much.
Ooh. Oh, how He loves you and me. All right. Yep. Listen to this first song. It's entitled The Stand. It's a great song by Christian Stanfill. I think you'll really enjoy it. Listen.
Stood before creation, eternity in your hand. You spoke the earth into motion, my soul now to stand. You stood before. Completely to you.
Praise God. I'll stand with arms outstretched. Woo! Oh, and a heart abandoned to you. And that is the attitude that God wants from us, that we take that stand and we just want all that he has for us. Megan, are you there on the line?
Hi, Pastor Marcia and Nan.
Hey, you, Megan.
You almost called me by my other name, Mama Mac, didn't you?
I almost did.
I know.
Yes, I did. Wrong show.
That's wrong show. That's Goyard. We'll talk about that later. But hey, so good to hear your voice. And little baby Zoe, I hear, is doing very well. And Andrew and your whole family.
Yes. We're doing great. In fact, we all just woke up from a nap about 10 minutes ago.
Oh, well, so that's good.
We are all well rested.
You're well rested, ready for the show.
That's right.
All right. Nan's got a poem here, and then we'll get back to you in a minute. Here's Megan. We're glad you're with us today. Go ahead, Nan. What did God say to you?
My favor is for you. I have given my all for you. Will you do the same for me? Giving your all that you have to me, it is a way that you can be free. Look to me, all that I have for you. Child, you have so much available. You can receive so much from me that your life can be joyfully full. My favor is waiting for your asking. Will you reach to me to receive such? You will never be the same again, for it's all by my loving touch.
Oh, that's so
and
good.
I don't know, editorialize any of these things.
Go ahead, editorialize away.
This one I wanted to editorialize on. When he spoke about my favor is waiting for your asking.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes we as people, we sometimes live below where we can actually live in God because, number one, maybe we don't recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what this show is doing for people today is helping them realize and recognize they can have God's favor.
Yes.
And but we need to reach to him for that. And he'll give that to us. I know I've learned. I think we counted up Friday night was the sixth Friday night of this series.
Of this series, yeah.
And I have learned so much between the Friday night gathering and then the Sunday radio shows, both of them together. I have learned a lot about God's favor. And
yes.
I can honestly say for myself, I've been a changed person as a result of
praise
this teaching.
God.
I mean, I can look back before me 6 weeks ago, and
right.
I wasn't like I am now.
Woo.
And I'm excited about that because these concepts have gotten within me, within my spirit,
amen,
within my mind. I have accepted them. I'm moving towards them. I'm realizing I really have God's favor.
Woo! Amen.
It's exciting. It's exciting.
If I had my bell, I'd be ringing it right now.
Do I have a bell?
I don't know. I couldn't find it Thursday night. Well, so.
Oh, there's the bell.
Oh, it's someplace else. Okay. Be careful you don't trip as you walk around in there. Okay. Megan, comment on all of that, because we are excited about this topic of finding favor forever, you know?
Well, you know, it is exciting, and it's so exciting to hear Nan say that she can look back and see that this teaching has brought up a change in her.
Yeah.
Because, you know, even though that, you know, most of us have been Christians for a very, very long time, that doesn't mean that we don't get rejuvenated along our walk.
Oh, yeah.
That we don't get a new found favor.
Yes.
Because it can come in multiple ways. And it comes when we seem to need it the most.
Oh, it does.
And, you know, it's amazing that you can have a life of turmoil. But when you ask for the favor of the Almighty, how you can be changed in such a manner that you can even look in the mirror and think, wow, the Lord has really touched me, and I can see a difference in myself.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's what's so beautiful.
It is. Yeah, Nan.
I have to say something.
she's on a roll
I'm
here,
on a
Megan.
Roll here. It's about
Bring
Megan.
It on, Nan.
Hey, Megan. I was
Hi,
thinking,
sweetheart.
You know, we need to reach out. That poem said we need to reach out. And Megan was helping me last night by texting with the computer situation I had going on. And she was there for me.
Yeah.
And she was said, do you have this? Have you tried, you know, and we did a little bit of a dialogue there, texting back and forth last night while I was trying to get something on the computer. And that's the same way it is.
Right.
I mean, I could, you know, she, just like she was there for me,
mm-hmm,
so is God there for us.
Ah.
And just readily available and willing to give us all these blessings.
All these blessings.
Thanks for the help,
Woo,
Megan.
There you go.
Anytime,
I'll talk to you about it later, too.
All right. Well, it brings us back to the book of Ruth. And Ruth is the eighth book of the Bible, so easy to find in your Old Testament towards the front. Ruth is only four chapters long. It was written about 1300 to 1500 BC, and it was probably written down by Samuel. And then it was eventually a part of the Bible as we know it now. And Ruth is, you'll have to go back and listen to all of our shows to understand here are the last four or five shows, the importance of this. But in a nutshell, Ruth was living in the land of Moab, and two people from Israel, from Bethlehem, Naomi and her husband Elimelech, go to Moab because there's a famine in Israel. That's how the book of Ruth starts. They get there. They take their two sons with them. Their sons marry women from Moab. Ruth is one that was married by Mahlon, one of their sons. Within a 10-year period, both the father or all, the father and the two sons all die. So now we have Naomi left in a foreign land with her two daughters-in-law. And we won't go through all the steps, but now eventually what happens, go back and listen to the last few shows, but what happens is that Ruth finds herself now in Bethlehem because she chose to go where her mother-in-law was going, because she had become to believe in the one true God, the God that we serve, God Almighty. And so because she chose to go with with her mother-in-law Naomi when she went back to Bethlehem, God began to richly bless her. When Naomi and Ruth get to Bethlehem, Naomi is bitter, and she calls herself that in Ruth chapter 1, verse 27. She says, "Don't even call me by my name Naomi," which is pleasant and agreeable. She said, "No, don't call me that anymore. Call me by my new name, Bitter." And I like to call her a bitter old bag. But that's what she was at that point, because she felt like God had turned on her. And there's so many of you out there maybe that feel the same way, that bitterness has set in because you just feel like so much awful stuff has happened to you. Megan, can you relate to how Naomi felt at some point? Although I know you have always taken a stand to choose not to be bitter, but you've had things happen to you that have been very painful, like we all have, right?
Absolutely. Everybody has something happen to them that could cause them to want to be bitter towards the Lord.
Right.
But I think, you know, knowing the Lord as I have growing up since I've been, itty bitty since I can remember,
right,
I have a different perspective than maybe someone that wasn't in church as much as I was and didn't maybe have a family that spoke and evoked God's nature through their actions. But, you know, my gosh, April of 2014 was when I could have had the possibility to become bitter, was when Grayson passed away from congenital diaphragmatic hernia.
Yes, your second son. Yes, last year.
Child.
Yes.
Yes. But, you know, I have to look back, because there would have been no way that I would have ever wanted to have been mad at God. It was more of why. I wanted to know why. It wasn't me striking my fist in the air and you know, blaming God for what happened. It was more I would want to know why.
Right.
And so, you know, as I live my life now with him being gone, is more of wanting to find out more about God's nature, wanting to be more in his favor.
Amen.
My baby's in heaven, and that's where I want to be.
That's
where
right.
I want to go when I leave this earth.
That's right.
So that makes me more strive more to find out about God's favor. And just like Nan said, learning more about Naomi through this chapter and about Ruth, I've read it before, but learning more about it really changes your perspective on the chapter, because Pastor Marcia, you're able to show us and teach us through Bible study and through the radio show just exactly what this chapter is about. It's not just about Ruth meeting Boaz and the death of the men in their lives. It's more than that. It's more
than it is.
It's about the Lord's favor.
Woo, it sure is. And we're going to get into some really good, deep things here during this show today. We're glad every one of our listeners is here. So to catch you up, thank you, Megan, because that really helps us focus where we are. We find that Ruth just happened And it's not just happened. I say that with in quotes, because Ruth and Naomi landed back in Bethlehem, which is Naomi's hometown, at exactly the right time, the time of harvest, the time when you could go out and get the leftovers, so to speak, in the fields, as the fields were being harvested. And so in Naomi chapter 2 and part of 3, we see that that's where, Ruth chapter 2 and 3, not Naomi, but we see that Ruth has gone out into the fields to what they called glean, to get the leftovers. And she didn't just happen to land in the field of Boaz. She was led there by God. There, it's obvious in this book that she was led to the right place at the right time. Nan, doesn't God do that in our lives today? This is not just an event from, you know, so many hundreds of years ago, but he does put us in the right place at the right time, does he not?
Well, he went and plopped me in Beacon of Hope in August of 2010.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
And you have not been the same since. No, I'm joking.
That's right. I haven't. No, none of us have.
You know, he knows.
Right, Megan? None of us have been since Nan plopped herself in Beacon of Hope in 2010.
But you know, it's so neat the way he has a plan.
Yes, he does.
You know, and he will bring... He will put you right where you need to be. And
that's exactly
and that's what
right.
he did for me. I mean, I was coming from a situation being hurt by a pastor at a church. It was really bad. I quit going because of that for several years, actually, because I just couldn't over that situation. And then he put me in Beacon, and Beacon's such a special place. And you're such a special pastor, and Pastor Jim is such a special pastor. And, you know, just a real loving, Beacon's a very loving environment. And just, you know, and people can just come as they are. And that's part of the slogan. But just come as they are.
Right.
And so that's what he did very mightily in my life. I can say this was so ordained of him. The way I got there was just a kind of a real trip. You know, how I found out about Beacon, you know.
Right. I remember.
You know, and was, you know, just, you know, wound up just finding out about it. And it, you know, he has a plan.
Yes, he
and
certainly does.
He had a plan. He had a plan for Ruth. I mean, and the way he worked it out, like he put her where she needed to be at the moment she needed to be that. And that's what he does in our lives.
And that's what he does. And it's the same thing here with Ruth. I mean, she really did end up right in the right field. And it was the person that needed to take her under his wing is the field she ended up in. And she found favor here with him. In fact, to such a degree that he said to the girls that also were gleaning out there, you know, pay special attention to her, to the guys, leave her alone, don't bother her, don't mess with her. She, you let her get the leftovers, let her do what she's here to do, you know, glean what's been dropped, you know, in the field. And in other words, Boaz, who was the owner of the field, was paying particular attention to her. And Megan, it's like God does with us. He does pay particular attention to us, does he not?
Yes, he does. And there's how many millions of us are there? And he yet gives us all
billions.
Personal attention. Yeah, millions.
Right.
Sorry, millions.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah. But he gives us all individual attention. And that's the amazing thing about him is he is so omnipotent. He's everywhere.
Amen.
And, you know, he knows us better than we know ourselves. And I think sometimes maybe people have a hard time believing that. But, well, you know what? He created you in your mother's womb.
Amen.
And he knows you before anybody else did.
Amen.
And he knows how to handle each of us because we're all different, which is another amazing thing that he created us all to be so different from each other. But he has a special way of caring for each one of us individually and giving us the care that we need to make us know that he loves us.
Absolutely.
And It's so hard sometimes to put words into the describing God's favor, but his love is so strong that it can knock you to your knees.
Amen. Psalm 30, verse 5 says, and David wrote this, he surrounds me with favor like a shield. And, you know, that's the words of David. And David was, his life was constantly threatened by King Saul, who tried to kill David 21 times. And yet David found favor with God, and he was not killed. He was spared. He became the next king of Israel. And David himself says, God surrounds me with favor like a shield. David constantly found that God's protection, his presence in his life was so strong that no matter what Saul tried to do, he couldn't kill David. Now, you say, does that mean I am invincible? It's spiritually, yes, you are more than a conqueror. You know, greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. No matter what the devil, and it says in Isaiah, no weapon formed against you can prosper, because you are God's redeemed child. And we're going to get into some more scripture about that. But it is so true. As we walk in the favor of God, we begin to see God's nature in such a powerful way. Do you want to comment on that, Nan? Because I just love that whole concept. The more we walk in his favor, the more we see God. We see who he is.
Well, I mean, that's what I have been experiencing the last
yes.
6 weeks, you know?
Yes.
And you know, the way that he gives me poems on the show, you know, he does that many other times too.
Right.
You know, and some of the stuff he's been giving me has been really pretty powerful stuff.
Right.
To see that he gives me favor.
Yes.
I mean, he gives me favor.
Yes.
You know, I mean, despite what could be, I don't want to say character flaws, but we all have issues.
Oh,
in our
we
life.
Do.
None
of
us are perfect. And despite all that imperfection in
yes.
us,
yes,
he still grants us favor.
Amen.
And that is so cool. I mean, if I can have it, you can have it.
Anybody can have it.
Anybody can have it. You know, and it doesn't matter where they've come from or what they've done. They're covered by the blood of the Lamb.
Right. Amen.
And that's what he sees.
Well, in Ruth chapter 2, verse 27, Naomi, who had called herself Mara, which means bitter, and had changed her name to Mara, finally has a revelation that God's not left her and God's not mad at her. In Ruth 2, 27, she says, oh my, and she begins to really understand, or 221 maybe, I think it is, just how much that God has not left her. And she really changes her attitude. And suddenly Naomi, the mother-in-law, says, you know what? God really is working on our behalf. Megan, I know that you came to a point during the time period when you were carrying Grayson and then right around there that you had to make some decisions, didn't you? That God must know what he's doing, right?
Absolutely, because God had a plan for the whole entire thing. And I have to share this because when I was younger, I've always had visions my entire walk with the Lord, and it's sometimes it can be something that's like, whoa, oh my gosh, okay, I don't know if I'm ready for this. But I always had a vision that I would have a child with a congenital disorder, and that used to scare me.
Really?
Into, yes.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I haven't shared it with very many people.
Well, now you're sharing it with millions.
Now,
wow.
Is that scared me into having children.
Okay.
And because of the fear of death, of loss, or the fear of, you know, what would happen if that came about. And my husband and I waited 8 years.
Wow.
Because of that reason. And here it came to pass. And when it happened, I couldn't believe it. But I took it just for how I should have. I took it as I dedicated my life again to the Lord. I surrendered again.
Yes.
And,
yes.
You know, I had to do that through the whole entire experience because it's so hard. Death is so hard.
Yes.
No matter whether you know the Lord or not, it's hard. I'm not going to lie.
It
and
is.
Having the Lord's favor, though, changes the way that you view it.
Right.
Because you know where they go. You know where they've went.
Right.
Even though that you're left behind. But that's what the Lord gives us, his favor and his love, to carry us through that time.
Amen.
To bring us out of that time victorious, not depressed and down in the trenches with the devil.
Exactly. Exactly. Wow, that's interesting. And yes, and then shortly after Grayson went to heaven. A few months later, you became pregnant, and now you and Ben have the little Zoe Grace, who is a real addition to your family.
You know, they all three are, but it's just amazing.
Yes.
That exactly almost 3 months after he was gone that I was already carrying Zoe.
Yes.
And I think I've mentioned in shows before that it was the Lord shared with me that Zoe was coming.
Right.
And I've learned from you that Zoe means life.
Yes.
And it's just amazing that when I picked you up the morning we were having Grayson's celebration service and we were talking about having another baby, and you said, well, Megan, I believe it's going to happen before you even know it.
Right. I remember that drive.
And it's amazing because thinking back, sitting there in that car with you, I was already pregnant.
You were already pregnant.
Yeah. So sitting there at Grayson's celebration service talking about him, I already had new life.
In you.
There was a new chapter already starting.
Praise God. Wow. And, you know, that just fits in. And Zoe's middle name is Grace. And we're going to get to this Grace concept here. So Boaz takes Ruth under his wing of protection. Okay, in the fields. And Naomi, the mother-in-law, and I found it, I was wrong on the verse. It's Ruth 1:20 where she says she's bitter. It's Ruth 2:20 where she says, wait a minute, God, you haven't walked out on me after all. And Naomi has an attitude adjustment. As we start chapter 3, we see that God gives her a plan, and she tells Ruth to go and lay at the feet of Boaz that night at the end of harvest, at the end of the big harvest party. We went through this entirely, very thoroughly last week, so I'm not going to do it again, but you can go back to last week's show and catch all this. But basically, Naomi says to Ruth, this is the custom. You go lay at the feet of Boaz after he lays down on the threshing floor, because that's what they did when they were harvesting. The landowner would lay there at night to guard all the crop. And she said, when he's laying there, you go lay at his feet, uncover his feet, and lay there. We really talked about that last week as far as worship, laying at the feet of Jesus and just being there with him. And Boaz is a type of Jesus. In other words, this story, they have a deeper meaning than just the events that happened. Ruth is a type of us, the bride of Christ. And Boaz is a type of Jesus, that Jesus, we learn to lay at his feet. We learn to surrender to him. We learn to make ourselves available to him. And this is what Ruth did in Ruth chapter 3. And Boaz wakes up suddenly, just kind of startled. And in verse 9 of Ruth 3, he says to her, who are you? In other words, what he's asking, what relationship do you have to me? And God asks us this question, Nan and Megan and audience. So often God's question to us is, you know, what is your relationship to me anyway? Are you my child? Do you believe that I am your protector, that I'm your Father God, that I am everything to you? That's God's question to us. And so Ruth tells him, she says, I'm your maiden and I've come under your protection. And also, I am a close relative of yours and you didn't even realize it. Mm-hmm. And Boaz knows that she was married to probably his cousin, Elimelech. And that when Elimelech died, then Naomi has the right to sell the land, and the person who buys it should be the closest relative. And that's what we're going to talk about today, because Boaz is reminded by Ruth, yes, you are the close relative. And Boaz, you know, you can just see him, picture him kind of rubbing his eyes and waking up and going, I'm what? You know, I'm the redeemer. I'm the close relative. And then he goes, wait a minute. No, come to think of it, I'm not, Ruth. There's somebody closer. And so we're going to talk about that person. And so Boaz says, you know, Ruth, I really want to redeem you, but we have to give the option to the closer relative first. Now, in our individual lives, so often, instead of being sold out to God, we are basically saying, you know, we don't want to be that close to you, God. We want to go to church once in a while, or we want you to be there when I need you, when my back is up against the wall. But I mean, I really don't really want that close of a relationship with you. Comment on that, Megan, and then we'll go to Nan for that. You know what I'm saying there about so many people are like this? They want a kind of a distant relationship, not an intimate, close relationship with God.
Well, you know, and I can kind of understand, because when you surrender, that's when, you know, all of the junk that you think that you can hide from the Lord
right.
is going to come out.
Ooh.
And
ooh.
It's not, it's not a scary thing. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
And maybe it could be that you're not ready to deal with that, that you would rather keep that hidden under a rock instead of bringing it out so that you can fully find the favor of God. Well, you know, when you approach the throne, you kind of want to give your heart before you give your wants and your needs. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Lord is looking for.
Yeah.
And I'm here to tell you, too, that you can't hide anything from the Lord.
Right.
He knows it all.
Right.
So if you think that you've got something hidden under a rock that he's not going to find out about, it's too late. He saw you think it, saw you do it, and he already knows. And I think that's a fear maybe in some people that, you know, if they walk too closely, that they're going to be, and I don't know why anybody would not want to be too cleansed.
Yeah.
Because that's a good thing, that you find that yourself in a new chapter of your life. And I don't know why anybody would want to be held back from that, other than the fact that it might scare them. And
okay.
it, of course, here we talk about fear again.
Yeah. And that's a really good point. Nan, you want to comment on that?
And I think some of the times, and we've discussed this on the show before, the reason maybe that some people don't want to get closer than arm's length away is that they're afraid of either, number one, what he's going to ask them to do.
Sure.
Or number two, what he's going to ask them to give up.
Exactly.
You know, and I find it's a much better way of living that way, you know, because if he wants you to do something, he'll equip you.
Right.
He's not going to ask you outlandish things to do. It's not, you know, some weird stuff. And if he asks you to give something up, whatever that might be, it's only to better you.
That's right.
You know, it's not to harm you. He's not into harming. He's into bettering. He's into making you a beautiful piece of pottery.
Exactly.
You know?
And, you know, Ruth is a type of us as, and you guys are hitting on this, as children of the living God, when we surrender more of ourselves to God, to Jesus, to work in our lives and to work in our hearts, it's like a young bride. And here we have Ruth as a bride and getting married. And then they know each other in a different way, right? They know each other intimately. They know each other. They, you know, in marriages, generally speaking, you know people better after you marry them than you did before, because maybe they let their guard down. Maybe they're not as debonair and as sweet, kind, and lovely as they should be all the time or whatever. And in our lives, when we come to Jesus, this is what I hear you two saying. We have to be willing to surrender and let him see those things in our lives that need help, that need correction, that need his touch, that need him to say, wait a minute, you know what? You got to get that jealousy out of your heart. You know, that's got to go. You know, that's not pretty. Don't like that. Not pretty. Comment on that, Nan, and we'll go to Megan for that, too, before we go to this song.
Well, sometimes people are jealous of what other people have.
Right.
Or what God has given them or what they have gained, you know, and it's just, it only eats you up. I mean, jealousy is.
Yes.
I'm very thankful. I am very, 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 very thankful that jealousy was not ever an issue for me.
Yeah.
I am grateful for
it
that.
It is for a lot of people, man.
It is for a lot of people. And I'm so grateful that was not one of my issues,
yeah.
You know.
It is
but
a lot of people.
But you can, whatever it is, you can let it go.
Right.
It's okay to let it go. And it's best to let it go.
Right.
So you can move forward, because it weights you down. What they call it, a green-eyed monster, I think, is what they've said in the past.
That's right.
You know, and that particular one, I mean, that's really, it's really bad.
It is.
To hold on to that. It eats you up inside. You know, we all know the studies come out how, you know, we can have things that can cause us physical stress.
Right.
Those kind of things can cause us physical ailments going on
right.
in our body, because we're hanging on to them, because they're affecting us internally so much.
Absolutely. Megan, you want to comment on that before we go to this song?
Well, I totally agree with Nan that when you hang on to things, it doesn't let you fully be surrendered to the Lord. It holds you back.
It does.
Holds you down.
Yeah.
And does and will make you physically sick.
Right.
And, you know, that's why a lot of times you claim our healing, but in order to claim our healing, we've got to let go of something that we're harboring.
That's right.
And,
yes.
And then we can fully find out what we've been missing out on.
Woo! Great intro to this song by the group New Song, The Same God. Listen to these words. Ha, they always fit perfectly. Here we go.
Back to the wall, scared you fall, what you gonna do? Day and night, don't know why it's like the world against you. You're praying for a breakthrough. There was a day
with you now. Same God, he's with you now. Lay down that fear and doubt. Woo!
Yeah, he's with you now.
He's with you now. Nan's got a poem, then we'll go to Megan.
I am the same today as I was yesterday. Look to me. I am still with you, little one. You can focus upon me and who I am. Then the work in you will be done. I am working all things together for you. Things will come out okay, you will see. Listen to my words, read my word, and pray. Of your thoughts of doubt, you'll be set free.
Mm.
I am the same God that I was in the Bible. I am with you and will still help you through all. Look to me, trust me, read my word. Open your mouth and unto me call. And it was interesting in that he two different times made reference to reading his word.
Yes.
And that's what we
answer.
Do on this show.
That's all about
we
the
read
word.
The word. It's all about the word. We
yes.
read the word. You know, there's life in the word.
Amen.
And it sets us free. And I think that's what, you know, and it lets us realize we can be set free, but then all the things that's available to us. And that's what we're learning today is about favor.
Absolutely. Wow. Megan, you want to comment on all that?
Mm. Absolutely. You know, it is so amazing because the same God that showed us in the hospital last year when Grayson was passing away is the same God that he was then.
Yes.
The same powerful,
yes.
impressionable spirit.
Amen.
That came through our family in that hospital.
Right.
And it's so easy to forget mm-hmm. about the fact that you can carry that with you on a daily basis. It's not something that floods in and out like a rainstorm or like a flood.
Right.
It's there like that all the time.
Yes.
And that we'll find that just like Nan was talking in that poem that she had from the Lord. It's in His Word. And, I got goosebumps. It's us learning through the Bible, through our pastors, through you, Pastor Marcia, through other pastors in the nation about His glorious favor and His forgiving nature.
Amen.
And
Amen.
How He leads us where we're supposed to be. It's all there. It's for us to take in. We just have to do it.
Absolutely. It is for us to just learn it, take it, and receive this favor and not be afraid of it, you know? And I think that song is so good because it's the same God who led you out of whatever situation. He's still right there waiting on you, whatever it is you're doing. And here we have Ruth, and she has done what Naomi has asked her to do, go lay at the feet of Boaz and remind Boaz that he is the Redeemer, the close relative. And then Boaz says, thanks for reminding me, but, you know, there is someone closer. And we're going to talk about who that person is as we get into chapter 4. And so at the end of 3, we see that Ruth goes home and talks to Naomi and tells her everything that happened. And she takes with her, and we talked about this concept last week, she takes with her all of this barley that Boaz has given her, because in the first chapter Boaz gives her just one measure, just one amount, like 6 quarts is a measure approximately of barley, and that's what he gives her at the very beginning when she first starts working for him. Now when she is coming to him and saying, I want to find favor with you, I want you to be my redeemer, I want you to marry me, is really what she was saying. She was actually proposing to him, okay? And he gives her 6 quarts, and now she has one that she was given back, one measure, which is 6 quarts, and now she has 6 more measures, which is 6 times 36, okay? So she has a total of 7 measures, and 7 is the number for God's completion and God's fullness for us. And in the beginning, when she's just getting to know Boaz, she has the one measure, okay? But now, when she gets to know him better, and she draws on who he is for her, and who he can be for her, and she reminds him that he can be the Redeemer, he gives her 6 more measures, and the total is 7, which is God. That's his number of completion. Oh, that's good stuff. Oh. Want to comment
preach.
On that? Yeah, that will preach, Nan. And then we'll go back to Megan on that. Just God's fullness, his abundance that we just so often don't tap into because we're afraid to or whatever. Like that song said, lay down your doubt and fear. Go ahead.
Well, we also have to trust.
Yes.
Trust is a big thing here.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if Ruth hadn't have trusted Naomi.
Right.
And her sharing, here's what I feel you need to do.
Right, the plan.
She had the plan, and the plan was from God.
Yes.
And because it was from God, it's a perfect plan.
Right.
If Ruth could have chosen not to listen to Naomi.
Good point.
And she would have missed out on the favor of Boaz, who is a type of Jesus.
That's exactly right.
You know, and so we need to listen to what the Lord tells us in the Word. There are times that God will bring people specifically to us and share a word. I feel I have a word for you.
Right.
And you always have to be careful that you know that it's coming from God.
Because
some people out there are just crazy, you know.
Yeah, they are. But,
you know, just crazy. Craziness.
Just plain crazy.
I've encountered some of that.
I know crazy.
Time.
I know some crazy.
But I mean, but when you know the life of the person and they say, I have this to share with you from God.
Right.
Take it serious.
Yes, take it seriously.
You know, and if there's something in a sermon, you know, it's interesting. You can take 10 people, sit under a sermon, and they all will come out with 10 different things that they got from the sermon. I think that's so cool the way that. That's just so cool the way
that's the way
works,
God you know? Does that.
The way God does that. But we need to take that and apply that and
Amen.
Trust Him, move forward in that plan. You know, she went from 1 to 7. How cool.
Yeah.
You know, and then she even goes further that we'll learn about.
Yes.
How cool.
How cool is that? Because she chose to receive it. She could have said to Boaz, no, that's all right. You keep all your barley. But no, she goes home to Naomi with this huge sack of food. you know, well, her provision.
About, well, we talked about how we figured she barely could carry it.
Yeah, she couldn't hardly carry it. It had to be a great big, like, blanket thing that she strapped around her neck. I mean, it really had to be huge. Megan, talk to us about that. You been carrying any barley lately out there on the ranch?
Yes, I have. I actually have. No.
Oh,
no,
you're a barley like harvester.
Of a 19-pound, five-month-old.
Oh, okay. All right.
No, but, you know, it's amazing that she did what she was supposed to do. She ignored the old bitter bag.
Right.
And looked how much favor she found with Boaz.
Right.
She was rewarded.
Yeah.
And that is the cool thing about the Lord, is that when you follow his ways and when you let him lead you, the blessings will just fall in your lap. You know, there's nothing you have to do but surrender to him, dedicate your life to him, pray to him, love him, praise him, and that barley will come onto you like a downpour.
Absolutely. Wow.
I will say something. The word I also see is also a process. You know, Megan just talked about how she has a five-month-old, 19-pound baby, if that's what I heard her say correctly.
That's correct.
That's right.
And so she, now, of course, she had that child within her. Of course, she was carrying that child. But
she didn't weigh that much then when she was, no.
Of course not. But as she
praise
has,
God.
As she has gained weight and gained weight, Megan continued to carry her. It's like, I'm not getting out what I'm trying to say. It's not working here.
Go ahead.
I know where you're going, Nan.
Can you do it for me, Megan?
I got you back, Dave.
Thanks.
Where she's going with this is that Zoe was just a small cell.
Right.
And now she has grown to 28 inches, 19 pounds, because her life is flourishing.
Yes.
And that's because, you know, as her family is taking care of her.
Right.
And what Nan, I think, is trying to say is as the Lord nourishes us, we grow as Christians.
Woo!
It's not that we gain weight. It's not what we mean. You know, you're not going to gain 19, 50 pounds. It's not what we mean. It's that you're going to gain spiritual weight.
Yes.
And you're going to gain that ability to fight in the spirit.
Right.
So you're going to claim your prize, people, and your prize is eternal life.
Yes.
Did I catch you, Nan?
You got me. Thanks, girl.
And your prize is the favor of God. And the provision, the protection, everything that he has for you, all the blessings. You know, so often people that I know that I text back and forth with in the ministry, friends, family, invariably they'll end their little text with blessings this day or blessings to you. In fact, on my voicemail, even though I'm a realtor, I say at the end, have a blessed day. Okay. And so we can take that word for granted, but the word blessing means to be envied, to be happy, to have the provision, whatever it is. And Ruth learned how to grab that. Even and Naomi learned in the process, because Naomi went from being bitter to going back to her other name, which means pleasant and agreeable. And when she had the attitude adjustment, God gave her the plan for Ruth that would ultimately bless her also. So even though the plan originally in Ruth chapter 3 was for Ruth to, what she was to do, to go lay at the feet of Boaz, invariably, and we're going to see this here in a little while, Naomi's blessed by the plan herself, because she allowed herself to be a tool and she surrendered herself for God to speak through her. And Nan, you do that with your poems. Megan, you do that. And we all do that on this show. We are allowing God to use us, which brings me to this point, and then you can both comment. Because on the screen that comes up on our big monitor as we start Friday gathering, it says this, and I don't know why. Friday night I wrote it down, and I thought, I asked Pastor Jim, did you write that? Did you write? He goes, no, you did. I don't remember having written this, but it's been up there a long time, but it simply really hit me hard Friday night. And it says this, Beacon of Hope Ministries, and it's got our logo, lighting the way home, and it says, Spirit-led, Jesus-focused, Word-based, Ministry of Grace.
Yes.
I'm going to say that one more time. Some of you may want to write it down, because that's what we are all about, and that's what this book is about. Spirit-led, Jesus-focused, Word-based, Ministry of Grace. quick comment, Megan and Nan, before we go to do a little housekeeping here before we go to, into the second hour.
Well, I'll tell you what, when you sent me that board, I looked at the top and I saw Ruth chapter 4. And then I immediately looked over and I saw that definition of beacon of hope. Because
right.
It stuck out. It stuck out to me. And that is the truth. Because you guys are doing all of those things. You're speaking through the Spirit. You're speaking the Word. And it is all about God's grace.
Woo.
That's what it is all about. And it's just...
You guys include you and your mom also, you realize, and Cindy, our Indiana connection. It includes all of us, you know.
That's right. It does. We're everywhere. But, you know, that's just God's favor.
Yes.
That's everywhere. That is the amazing
Amen.
Thing.
Yes. Woo! Okay, we're going to talk more about this in the second hour. Don't go anywhere. You have time to call a friend. Tell them to tune in to the show right now. And Nan, you have a comment here. And then, okay. Real quick, we want to remind you that if you are in the Tampa Bay area on Friday nights, join us at the Friday Gathering. It's so much fun. And it is. We're located right now, currently, at 3580 Almerton Road in the Ramada Inn. We have a big, nice room on the front, on the right. Very nice. Separate entrance. 3580 Almerton Road. Begin about 6:30. Start at 6 with prayer meeting. 6:30, Bible study, praise and worship, prayer for your needs. Every Friday night, 6 o'clock to 6:30. And you can come and bring dinner. We have tables set up and you can eat. A lot of people come straight from work. Megan, tell them about Go Yard. That's our other radio show. And do you know this Thursday night, Megan and Nan will be our one-year anniversary for this show, Go Yard.
No way.
1 year this Thursday
wow.
night coming up.
Praise God.
Crazy.
Well, I'll tell you what, wow. Go Yard is a show that everybody needs to tune in and listen to. And also, they need to text in or call in with questions because it's an interactive coaching, life coaching show.
Yes.
With you and Dr. Angel Falzone, and now I get to say it, Mama Mac.
Mama Mac. That's my other
yes.
name.
You yeah. guys are on from 6:05 to 7 every Thursday.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, you guys really hit on some really deep issues. And what I mean by that is, you know, teaching and helping people cope with setting boundaries, learning to the one I absolutely loved was when enough is enough.
Right.
And, you know, it's just
good
amazing
show.
That Dr. Angel, she brings her PhD to the table and she's got so much experience. And then you, Mama Mac, with your experience in counseling and your Christian background, it's just an amazing show. Everybody needs to tune in Thursday nights at 6:05.
Amen. And it's also on Starcom Media and it's played on Starcom Media 3 or 4 times each weekend. So if you are one of the people that listen on Starcom Media, you can catch it multiple times. And this past Thursday night, we did a show on developing a sense of humor. And if you didn't catch it, you should have. You will. You should. And it was hilarious. And we had such a good time doing that show. So that's Thursday nights. And then, of course, this show is every Sunday in the Tampa Bay area starting at 3 o'clock Eastern. And also Starcom Media. It's played 3 or 4 times every weekend. And so you can catch these shows, any of them that you've missed. And the prayer line, Megan, your mama, Betty, and our associate pastor, Pastor Jim, man the prayer line. And who can use that?
Anybody.
Absolutely.
Don't have to be a member of Beacon of Hope to send in a prayer request.
Prayers at bohmglobal.com. Our website is www.bohmglobal.com. So that's the key right there. bohmglobal.com stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries. You can reach me personally, pastor at bohmglobal.com. And send your prayer requests to prayers at bohmglobal.com. And we will get those out to our prayer team. Listen to WTAN, station ID.
Claire.